Come on, somebody. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? I feel old school today. I was glad when they said, calm down, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Father, thank you for today. Thanks for this opportunity to break open the bread of life. Teach us, will you? It shouldn't just be another Sunday. Deposit something in every heart. Transform us from the inside out. We are open. We are good soil. Will you plant a seed that will bear much fruit? In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Last week I had about 100 verses for you. Today I have one. Just one. We're going to read one. So why don't you stand to your feet? Let's read one verse, Matthew chapter 7, round about verse number 12. We're going to read one verse last week. You stood too long. So this week, just one verse. Praise the Lord. Let me hear from this side. Praise the Lord, somebody on this side. There's about 15 people that used to go to our old Baptist church on that side. How about this side? Praise the Lord, somebody on this side. Praise the Lord. A little more on this side. In the middle. Praise the Lord, somebody in the middle. Praise the Lord. Let's read the word real quick. Here we go. Wherever you come from, let's read it. Here we go. In. Therefore. Stop. When should you treat people the same way you want them to treat you? When? Say these two words with me two times. In. When? That means every single time. That means there's no exceptions. That means you don't get to determine if they're worthy of it or not. In everything. Therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat. We want them to treat us good. We all want that. We win on that one. Yeah, you better treat me good. But when it's your turn to treat them good, you struggle. We're going to talk about it. You may be seated. See that? Look how easy that was today. Praise the Lord. If you don't have one of these today, you're going to need one. So it's a pretty big booklet today for you. It'll be on the app as well. But by the way, can you help me? I don't think I've ever done this. Can you help me thank our graphics team? They do such a great job. Can you help me thank our graphics team, everybody? Yeah, they really do. They make... I'm not that good, but they make me look good with all of this design they be doing. Praise the Lord for people who know how to do stuff on the computer. Here we go. So far in our series, we've basically said, in you before in them. Say that with me, in you before in them. One more time, in you before, you got it. And basically what we've suggested so far is that if it's not in you, then it won't be, the chances are likely that it won't be in them, which therefore means don't tell them to do something if you ain't doing it, okay? So far we said most parents and most people run the bases in the opposite direction. You focus more on academics, you focus more, we have a tendency to focus more on our work than we focus on our relationship with God and on our character. That's a tendency we have, that's a bent we have. By the way, the rhythm of our week works in favor of running the bases in the opposite direction. Because you come to church on the weekend and then you go to work Monday through the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you come back to church over here again. So if you do nothing at all, and you just allow the rhythm of your week to happen, you're going to prioritize third base, which is competence, which is results, which is getting stuff done, which is academics, which is your job. You have a tendency to focus way more on this than on your relationship with God and on character and on your community. Therefore, we have to have we have to create rhythms that intentionally drive home the significance of home plate, drive home the significance of first base, which is character, and second base, which is community. In light of that, what I want to talk about today is I want to show you how the verse you just read connects to home plate. Because what you can't have is somebody without character trying to determine how I'm going to relate to people. You can't have somebody who don't have a relationship with God trying to have best friends with other people, because it's going to go south. So in light of that, that's where we're starting. But let's look at the passage and the verses that came before verse number 12. Let's look at 7 all the way through 11. And I think you will be shocked at how God sets us up with why we should treat people the same way we want to be treated. Let's take a look. Verse 7, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, hey, ask and it will be given to you. He says, seek and you will find. He says, knock and it will be opened to you. In other words, God is saying, first of all, you should be praying to me more than you currently are. You should be asking me for stuff more than you currently are. How can you have this infinite, all-powerful God, and yet still you go days and sometimes weeks without talking to him? He says, that's because you want to skip home play. This is where you're supposed to connect with me moment by moment, day by day, second by second. You're supposed to be connecting with me, but you're not doing it. And part of it is because you really don't realize how he invites us to pray with him. He says it three times. Ask. Hey, man. Seek. Hey. Knock. Can you please ask me? Next verse. Here's what he says. Next verse. He says, here's a word for everyone. Everyone, not some of you, for everyone who's a child of God, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. No, this is huge. Next verse. Here's what he says next. He says, let me give you an illustration of it, he says. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Is there any, what kind of dad would that be? When your son's hungry, ask for a loaf, you're going to give him a stone. Next verse. Or when he asks, next verse. Or when he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake. Is there a dad that would give him a snake when he asks for a fish? What's the text? Next verse. He says, if you then, that's you, being evil cause you not perfect, know how to give good gifts to your children. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Say it with me. How much more? One more time.
How much more?
Will your Father, who is in heaven, the perfect one, give what is good to those who ask him? In light of that context, he says, verse 12, in light of that, therefore, in everything, therefore, I want you to treat people the same way you want them to treat you. He goes through first base, he goes through home plate, then he goes to first, and then verse 12, he gets to second base. And he says, the way you operate in your relationship is by the golden rule. I want you to treat them the same way you want them to treat you. Why does he say that? Because he knows you love yourself. So you're going to treat yourself good. He says, in the same way you want them to treat them. All right, go to your notes now. Let's fill out some blanks real quick. This is a powerful verse. On the screen, go back to verse number 7 in a minute. He says, he invites us to do a couple things. First of all, he invites us, verse number 7, to pray. That's what he says. He invites us to pray. He says, can you please, church of God, people of God, can you please realize that I am available to you, and will you talk to me more often than you do? He says, I want you to do it. I'm inviting you to do it. I'm encouraging you to do it. Will you pray? Ask, seek, knock, talk to me. Next one, he says. Number 2, he says, I'm good. He asked us to pray 3 times. Ask, seek, knock. Then he says, I'm going to make promises if we pray. He gives us 7 promises that he'll give us. 7. No, God's giving you this promise, ladies and gentlemen. 7 things I'm going to guarantee if you talk to me. So let me ask you this. I wonder what you don't have today because you weren't praying. I wonder what your family is missing out on today because you go to everybody else except God for what you need. I wonder what protections you're missing because you're not praying. The infinite God of the world invites you, actually encourages you, actually begs you, will you ask? And by the way, when you ask, I got 7 promises. What are the promises? He says, ask, finish it with me, and it will be. Seek and you will. Knock and. He says, I'm promising you some stuff, but you ain't asking. You're going to everybody else except me. Next one, number 3. He says, not only do I want you to pray, I want you to make some promises. Next, he said, God is available at different levels. He says, it don't matter whether you feel close to God today or whether you feel far from God. He says, as long as you're looking to me, I'm going to answer. You don't believe me? He says, if you're close to me and you see me and I'm in your presence, you can ask me. He says, but, if you're far from me and you have to seek me, I will make myself available so you're going to find me when you seek. Then he gets real nasty with it. He says, and if there's a block, if there's something happened between me and you, between me and one of your people, and you don't like them, therefore you don't like me, and there's a wall in between me and you, all you got to do is knock and I will open that wall. He says, I love you so much that no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, I will make a way for you to connect with me. He promises us that. He says, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is seek. All you got to do is knock. He tells you, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, I'm there. That ain't a miracle. Watch the next verse. Watch that. Here we go. Number four says, everyone who asks. So what's wrong with you? Why are you running away from first base, from home plate? He says, everyone who asks receives. Then why aren't you bombarding God more? Why aren't you hanging out at home plate way more than you currently do? That's what he's asking. But I know your question. Your question is, well, Pastor, the reason I don't is because when I ask him for stuff I want, he don't give it to me. I've been asking him for this for a long time, and he ain't giving it to me. That's why I ain't asking, because I don't want to be disappointed by God. Well, the same passage answers your question. Be careful now. Read the Bible sometime now. Come here. You come with me. Let me see. Go back to the verse. Watch verse number 9. He tells you the answer, but you missed it. Here we go. Verse 9. He's telling you, if you ask, you're going to receive. Watch it. He says, what man is there among you who, when his son, that's the one you love, his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? What kind of dad would that be that you ask for something and he gives something that hurts you? Next verse. What kind of dad is there that if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Will he give him a snake? Will he? Really? No. Next verse. I'm getting to your question. If you then being evil, you're not perfect, you're not holy, you don't know all the answers. But if you, who being evil, know how to give good gifts, and you would not give your son or your daughter something that will hurt them. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Whoa. So why is it then, God, that I've been asking you for such a long time for my boo? Why is it then, God, I've been asking you for such a long for a house that we can all be in? Why is it that I'm not getting what I asked for? Because your good Father knows that what you think is a boo might be a snake. Jesus! Your heavenly Father knows, because he's a good God. He's a good God. He knows that the house you think you must have because you need it, because it's the best thing ever and you need, he knows that it's going to hurt you in the future. So because he is so good, he lovingly don't give you what you want because you have limited vision. But he can see much further than you can see. So he says to you, I'm going to give you what is good for you, not what will hurt you. But I know what some of you say. I know what you're saying still. I know you're still saying, no. But I know what I want, and I feel that it's right. Listen. Now you're claiming to be God. Because now you're saying what you want is good for you. But you don't have ultimate vision. You don't have ultimate knowledge. You don't have ultimate wisdom. So if you want it and get mad at God for not giving it, it means you now are equal to God, because you know that what you want is good and the good Father ain't giving you what is good. So you've just arrogantly elevated yourself to be God, because he says, I know what's good for you, and I promise you, if it's good for you, you're going to get it. Which means if you don't have it yet, it means it ain't good for you right now. Pastor, you better preach today. Pastor, you better preach today. You better preach today. Then why aren't you asking him more? He says you got to stir your affections up. Go to the bottom of the page. Not, well, I missed a blank, so some of you are going to get mad. Number 5 is he's a good God. And number 6 is he only gives good gifts. That's all he gives is good gifts. He don't know how to give a bad gift. Which is why when you don't have what you want, you need to go to the Father and enjoy his presence, because maybe he thinks you like his gifts over the giver. Because he only gives good gifts. It's in his nature to only give good gifts. So what you and I need to get used to is determining how we can hang out in the presence of God. And now the question becomes, how do I stir my affections for God? God, if that's what you want from me, how do I make sure you're it and I'm not trying to put substitutes in your place? The way you do it is by you stir your affections for God. How do we do that? Now, the chart that you have on your paper, your job now is to determine which one of these stir my affections. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't determine it, you're going to live in third base. And you got to learn how to every single day stir your affections. You stir your love affair. Stir your stuff for God. Now, if there were any kids in the room, I'd say so. You know how to stir your affections for some other stuff. If I'd go a little R in a minute, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay PG. But you know how to stir your affections for some stuff. Let's move on. But you know, let's talk about how to stir it for God. There's music that moves and soothes my soul. That stirs my affection. That stirs it. That it makes me fall in love with God more and more. There's sunsets that I look at, that I sit and I stand in awe of who he is. Watch this one. Put Matthew 6 verse 26 on this one. The reminders that tell me I have clothes to wear. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? You see, when I look at a bird, here's what my Bible says, Matthew 6 says, the bird neither sows nor reaps, yet still the bird got food for days. Here's why, because the Heavenly Father will provide whatever that bird needs, whenever that bird needs. So when the next time you see a bird or a crow or any kind of bird, you're supposed to burst out in praise, because you know that's a reminder that if he'll take care of the bird, he'll take care of me too. You got to learn how to stir your affections for God. I want to know which one of these stir your affections. And you, by the way, if you don't ask it, that means sure enough your kids ain't asking it. You have to ask your kids, what makes you love God more? What makes you, maybe it's a story, maybe it's hearing stories of how God creates and does miracles. I don't care what it is, but you need to know what stirs your affections. The next one down here is this, a trusted counsel bringing keen insight. Every time I talk to some of my mentors, I ask God, why? Why me? Why you bless me with some of these guys that simply pour into my life? Why am I so fortunate? And it makes me want to praise God more. Because I've seen days when I've been at a fork in the road, and because of a keen insight, they lead me down the right path. You ought to praise God for some of the people he's brought into your life. And you ought to praise God. Thank you, God, for bringing this person in my life. Because they've saved you from heartache. That had it not been for them, I don't know where you'd be today. But you need to know what stirs your affection for God. Working in the water of the Word. Just spending time in the Word of God and milking the nuggets from God's Word stirs my affection for God. Here's the question. What stirs yours? Here's the question you should be asking your kids. What stirs your affection? And if they don't know it yet, then you try different things to see what makes them fall in love with God more. Maybe you'll turn off some of that nonsense music, and maybe you'll turn on a little bit more about Jesus and the mighty things he has done to stir your kids' affections. What stirs it? But if you ignore home plate, if you ignore your connection to God, it means when you get to community second base, then you're not going to have anything inside of you to handle people when they get on your last nerve. But then there's stuff that robs us from our affections too, don't it? There's stuff let's look at the list. You ever have empty, you're sitting on and you're asking, why the heck am I here? I have just wasted 2 hours of my life sitting and listening to this fool talk. Because that robs your affections for God. It gets on your last nerve. Here's another one. How about eating poorly? You eat a piece of bacon and you'll be like, yeah, something right there, something right. Something right, something right. Or worry. Oh, we've mastered this one. Worry. Oh, we'll worry about stuff that ain't going to be changed by you worrying. The next one is online. Oh, let me talk about this a little bit. Oh, yeah, it does. First of all, some of you go to your computer before you go to your Bible. You get up in the morning trying to figure out who liked your stuff. You get up in the morning trying to figure out, what am I going to say? You spend 40 minutes on one post. Oh, you don't believe me. You take 100 pictures. Click, 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 click. Which one do I like? Nope, nope. Delete, 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 delete. Okay, these 10. No, let me take another one. From here, click, click, from here, click. And all you're doing is, you just wasted 40 minutes. Trying to determine which one's good. And by the way, then you get 4 likes and you're mad. For 1, 2, 3, 4, that's it. And then you'll be mad. Now you start worrying. Ain't nobody else like me? Really? Waste time. Get up in the morning, ain't looking to the Bible. Lord, thank you for waking me. Let me see who contacted me. DM. Crazy. Just crazy. You know what else affects people's, rob people's affection? Remember about church hurt that you'll never get over. It's time for you to release some of that. Of course somebody hurt you, but you need to release some of it so it does not rob your affections for God. Right now you're talking about, yeah, I'm an atheist because I see what church people do. Listen, this is between you and Jesus. And so if somebody else acted a plumb fool, I promise you, my Bible says there is twice the judgment for them that mess around with God's people. So you let God, I promise you, God's got them. The question is, are you going to do what you're supposed to do, which is connect with God? He didn't say connect with the pastor. He said connect with God. Turn the page over. Come on, let's go. There's no more blanks, right? We good? I know some of you get mad about that. Let's go to character. This is huge now. This is huge. I only set that up to show you why you need this, why this is so important. Let's go to character now. There are 3 things not on your sheet that you need to write down. That I would consider 3 of the most important character qualities that your kids must have, and you must work diligently for this. Number 1 is honesty. Honesty. They need to learn to tell the truth. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell the truth, then when you get in relationships with people, then you can't tell the truth there, then the relationship is ruined. When you get to being competent and studying academics, if all you're going to do is cheat and lie, then you're going to be found out. It's just a matter of time. Does that make sense? So you can't miss that first one. Honesty. You know what? Some people get so good at lying, they don't even know they're lying anymore. You ever met one of them folks? They're so good at lying, they'll be telling you a bold-faced lie, but they so have convinced themselves that they are truth tellers, but they're really liars, that they have convinced themselves that they're telling the truth, so they don't even know that they're lying. And by the way, God bless you if you have one of those people in your inner circle. Because they will tear you down. Bad company corrupts good morals. So be careful. Make sense? The third one is this idea of pay now. No. The first one is honesty. Second one is gratefulness. Third one is pay now, play later. The second one is gratefulness. Let's talk about gratefulness. Gratefulness means there's just an appreciation of what you got. Not what you want, what you got. Listen. You better teach your kids gratefulness. And if they get they start feeling themselves too much, you better send them somewhere so they can learn gratefulness. Yeah. All you got to do is go to the rest of the world and you'll learn to be grateful. You go to Europe and you got to use a bathroom, you're grateful for all them restaurants where you just go in there and use the bathroom. You go to some parts of Africa and you got to use the bathroom. You go to some parts of any country except maybe even this one. Some parts, the right parts, and you'll learn to appreciate a bathroom. I promise you, you have some parts, and where, when you go to the bathroom outside, it's all flies. Oh, yeah, it's all flies. So you go in the bathroom, you got to be swatting flies away, and then it stink that mug. So you got to go sit down in the stinkness while swatting flies, and there ain't no flusher. See, when you come back home to your little porcelain little bathroom, and you sit down like this, you start singing, I will bless the Lord. See, it's all because you don't know how to appreciate what you got. Then when you flush that bathroom and you and some of the stink gone, you'll be hallelujah. Never been so great. You end up on your knees hugging your toilet, just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But when you get used to something over and over again, you start taking it for granted. That's why you ought to, I'm gonna get in trouble. That's why you ought to just take your wife for a walk sometimes. Hold her hand. And just look at how many other dudes be looking at her. Then you start appreciating her a little bit more. Because then you'll realize, oh, hold on. Dude, quit looking at her. I'm good. What you doing? Then you start looking yourself. Okay, you know what? Let me hold my boo a little closer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to leave that alone. Let's keep going. Leave that. Come on. Oh, I got to go. My time's running out. Pay now, play later. That's the third one. Okay, let's go. Now, how do you develop these character traits? How do you develop them? You develop them, number one, this is so huge. Proverbs chapter 4 says, guard your hearts. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to guide your kids' hearts. In a season of life, you have to guard what they watch, who to hang out with, all that. But there's coming a season where you don't get to guard it anymore. Watch this, because your kids have to give you access to their hearts. No, if you parented like a fool in the early years, then they won't give you access anymore. Or they'll obey you, but they'd be wretched on the inside. Listen, that's why conversations oftentimes are more important than consequences. Because what you're trying to do is see where the heart is. Don't just obey me. I need to see the why behind your obedience. And if you miss it, then you won't get a window into the heart. And if all you're doing is consequences, then ultimately they'll shut you out. Which is also why you need some other people in your life, so that when they shut you out, you have somebody else that they've given access to your kid's heart. It's huge. If you don't, if you mess this one up, then you don't get to forge and help develop the character. Number two, this is the one I want you not to forget. Don't carry your kid's load. Don't carry your, you have a load, your kids have a load, mummies and daddies don't carry your kids' load, or else that's why you end up with teenagers who are 45 years old still living in their daddy's and mommy's house. That's because you don't carry their load way too long. Now they're malnourished and underdeveloped academically as well as physically. Because of you, because you don't. You know why some of y'all have your kids in this big old bubble? They're riding a bike. They look like they 5 feet off of the bike because you're afraid of them getting a bruise. So you put them in bubbles everywhere. Oh, yeah, this. And then you go buy the thing that says bruise free. And so you just want them to ride. You got bruises every day and you turn out all right. It's okay if they get a little bit of bruise. Let them fall. Don't call CPS on me, but let them fall. Get a couple of bruises. They'll be all right. You got some bruises and some scars still to this day. You can show me them right now in the name of Jesus. By the way, let me help the young. I'm not talking about spanking them to create bruises. I'm talking about on their bikes. Some of you be taking the wrong message. Talking about the pastor told me. Here we go. Now watch this. Watch the chart on the bottom. No, this is huge. Don't miss this. Watch the chart on the bottom. There's stuff that you carry, and there's stuff that your kids carry. No. Let me do a little bit of work to help you understand this. The term load is a shipping term when it's used in Galatians chapter 6. The concept is that there is a certain capacity that each person has, and the load that you carry is your capacity. When you're at full capacity, listen, when you're at full capacity and you go over that full capacity, the Bible now calls that a burden. That's why he says you ought to bear one another's burdens. He didn't tell you to bear one another's load. Everybody carry their own load. But when the capacity is full and now it becomes a burden, then you help them with the burden and then help them carry, and then you tell them, go carry your own load, but I'll help you with the stuff that has now become overbearing for you. Parents, at every level, you have a load and your kids have a load. And your job is to carry yours and develop them to carry their own. But you don't carry their load. This is huge. This really, really is huge. If you do, you will underdevelop your own kids. Ladies and gentlemen, don't do all their homework just because you're so focused on third base. Because you might get them through that grade, but the next grade's coming. And if you keep doing it, don't worry, you're going to get them through high school, but when they leave your house, college is coming. And now you're going to entice them to cheat to succeed because you didn't force them to learn how to think on their own. You did it for them. It will show up later. Can I get a witness, somebody? Okay. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't carry it. Don't carry their load. All right, number three. Come on, let's go. Number three. This is huge. This is huge. Release your kids from your fears. Release your kids from your fears. Ladies and gentlemen, you short-circuit your kids' development because of stuff you're fearful, so you don't want them to experience it, so you try to protect them from it because of your own fear. I do this. I got about five issues in this. I'm going to give two of them. Number one is I hate roller coasters. Hate it. The reason I hate roller coasters is because I didn't grow up on roller coasters. We got push carts. We don't have no roller coasters. Then they just built one the other day, like little while now. But the roller coaster they built in Jamaica, this is hilarious. They got brakes that you control. Praise the Lord. So if you ever go to a place called Mystic Mountain, you go on this little bobsled thing, but they got a brake. Praise the Lord. I ain't going too fast. Okay, sorry if you're behind me. Life sucks, but we're going slow. Now listen. If I don't face my fear, then guess where we ain't go? We ain't going to no amusement park, cause you ain't going to none of that I don't control. You're not gonna be one of them dangling upside down. Well, it had a malfunction. Number two thing. Second thing. This is so funny, man, but for real. So in Jamaica, to go from one side of the island to the next takes about 4 hours, right? Maximum, 4 hours, right? So guess who drive from here to Houston, talking about, are we there yet, every second? I do it all the time. Guess what we not doing? Jada grew up taking 21-hour road trips to everywhere. Oh, no, ain't nobody doing that. We taking a plane. We ain't going no. Every 2 minutes, and I need to use a bathroom. In Jamaica, you come out of the car, do it right there. Just stoop down, do it right there. Do it right there. Here, you got to wait for the next stop, the next Buc-ee's. Let's go somewhere. Ain't nobody doing all that. No, listen. True story, though. Listen. If I'm not careful, then my kids will miss out on road trips, all because I don't want to face them because it's too long. Joker, deal with your own fear. Joker, get over your own little small-minded Jamaican mentality and realize that 20 is probably too long, but an 8-hour trip ain't that bad. Can I get a witness, somebody? Listen, if you don't deal with your fears, then your kids are going to miss out on an experience because of your own fears. Don't do that to them, please. Don't do it. All right, let's, all the blanks finished on that one? Let's turn over. Come on. Let's see if we can finish. And some of y'all get so mad when I miss one of them blanks. Don't miss the point of the sermon because of a blank. Come on. Anyways, here we go. Here we go. So we go through first base. We go through home plate. We go through first base. This is where I'm trying to get to. Then next week we'll get to third. Let's get to second base. Now watch this. Three qualities. If you're going to have people in your inner circle, there are three qualities. Number one, you have to teach them how to have respect. Respect. What does respect mean? It means that you value people. It means that you use things and you value people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll never, ever forget a story I heard from Barbara Bush's daughter. She was on NBC 5 when I heard her tell this story. She said one day they went in and they had all the servants feed them stuff. And they went in the movie room in the White House, apparently, and had all the servants come in and just gave them popcorn and whatever they wanted. And she's telling the story. One of the Bush daughters telling the story. She says, her mom came and said, "Come here. You are never allowed to treat these people like they are your personal servants, because they're not. Whenever you go to a restaurant and sit down, you make sure your kids honor the people that are serving them and treat them with dignity and not treat them like they're some little pawns to be disposed of. You make them look them straight in the eye and say, thank you so much for serving me today. Because if they ever feel like they're beneath them, you have just created a monster that will use people. And you don't want kids like that. Number one is gratefulness. Number one is respect, which means you ought to value people. Number two is show compassion. If you're going to have great relationships, if you're going to have great friendships, then you ought to show compassion. Compassion means to suffer with someone else's pain, to make someone else's pain your pain, to take action to help them. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. When he comes and he says, he doesn't walk by, he stops, renders aid, and helps the person by taking them to the inn and making sure they were taken care of. If you don't treat them the way you want to be treated, that's what you would do. That's what you'd want somebody to do for you. So let's do it for other people. The last one says, how to make friends. Let's talk about this for a minute. The top part says, where are you being casual with relationally critical things? Where are you being casual with relationally critical things? There are two circles, the small circle and the outer circle. The outer circle, that's where you have acquaintances. That's where you have casual friendships. That's where you have school friends. Listen. Our problem is that we don't define who the inner circle should be. Inner circle, build up, not pull down. They'll do what they say they're going to do. They'll give and they'll take. They'll forgive and they'll do better. Or you will forgive and do better. This is what should characterize your inner circle. The problem is when you get people on the outside who you hastily put on the inside, that's when you get drama. And listen, it's hard to get them out. You have to get them out with lawyers, you have to get them out with police, and you got to get them out with guns. You don't believe me, do you? You thought you were in love. Oh, this is my boo, this is my boo, this is my boo. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then your boo became a monster. $40,000 later with lawyer fees, you still got to hang out with them for 18 years. And the only way you can talk is through a lawyer. You know why that happened? Because it was a relationally critical decision and you allowed your emotions and your feelings to drive it, which is why you're in the situation when you go in business. Be careful, because if you go in business without people of character, then you're going to have somebody that's not going to treat you the way you want them to treat. They're going to treat you because they don't value you, but they value the money y'all going to make together. They're going to make the money make the decision and not the relationship. It happens all the time. The Bible gets even better at this. The Bible says, not only the golden rule, treat them the way you wanted to be treated. The platinum rule says, treat others the way God treated you. So the way you ought to live is you ought to live in a way where you treat others the way God treated you. What does that mean? That means, let's bring the story back now, which my son and I had, which I told you about last week. You throw the boomerang out. It comes back. It's time to go inside. I threw it one last time. I said, hey, buddy, you go get the boomerang. To which he said, I didn't throw it, so I don't need to get it. He went and got it, but because I cared about conversation, not consequences, we had to have a talk about that. To which he says, Dad, I don't get why I didn't throw it, but I should get it. Now you get to teach the platinum rule. The platinum rule says, do unto others what Jesus has done unto you. Now the reason you go get it is just because the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, who I'm trying to be like, is he's a giver. The nature of the God that I serve is he wants to help others even when they don't want to help him. Since that's the nature of our God, since that's who I am trying to become, then you've got to walk in his characteristics. His characteristics are, even though I didn't throw it, since you ask, I'll go do it because I want to be like God, and it's better to give, help you out, than it is to receive. Therefore, if I want to be like Jesus, the reason I do it is not because of your rightness. The reason I do it is because I want to be like Jesus. He's a good God. He is one that will initiate solving your problem even though you created it in the name of Jesus. See, when you don't teach a kid that, and when you teach your kid, hey, buddy, because I know some dads in here saying this, hey, buddy, if somebody knocked you, you knock them out back again. Play that movie out all the way forward. Just play it out all the way forward. Think about what you're saying now. If they knock you, you knock them out. Play it 20 years from now and tell me where he ends up. I'm just saying, play it. Play it out. Be careful what you're teaching them at this age, because they're going to grow up to this age. And if they learned it there, it's only a matter of time. So ladies and gentlemen, you got a guard who comes in your inner circle. You have acquaintances, you have casual friends, you have school friends, but you got a guard who gets in there. The reason you can live on second base and even when somebody looks like they're winning, you're chilling, is because your Heavenly Father says, all you got to do is ask, and I, who am the Heavenly Father, will give you good gifts. I don't hold nothing back from you. So even if it looks like somebody is winning on the front end, I am the good God. And I says, because you're connected with me for home plate, I will take care of your needs. It doesn't matter what the scoreboard looks like. Your heavenly scoreboard always supersedes your earthly scoreboard. Let's get out of here. A number of years ago, I worked at an office in an office building. In the office building, they had this coffee pot. And the burner kept going out, and they're wondering why it was going out. And then the electrician changed parts, and then it still wouldn't work. So then he came in and wanted to observe what was happening. What he found out was the coffee pot's either full or it's empty. When it's full, then the coffee in the coffee pot gets better as it goes. When it's empty and you put it on the burner, then over time it burns and damages the burner. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go into relationships and you're void or empty or not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the reason why your relationships go south and end up burning up. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it gets sweeter as the relationship continues over and over again. What we need in our culture today is men and women who are so filled with the Spirit of the living God that when they go into environments and people are talking badly about them or badly about anybody, they can step into it and they can treat them the way Jesus treated you, so you can step into it filled with the Spirit and provide peace in a reckless situation. The reason why you walk into some situations and it is absolutely tumultuous, and you walk in and it's more tumultuous, is because you're empty and void of the Spirit of the living God in that moment. But he says where he is, there is peace. Where he is, there is joy. Where he is, there is kindness. Where he is, there is patience. Where he is, you've got all the fruit of the Spirit. So when you show up on your job tomorrow filled with the Holy Ghost, because you've been at home play, you've stirred up your affections, and when your character is there and you're honest and you appreciate people, not because they like you, but just because God's been good to you and you like people because God created all of them, then when you get to second base, the reason you can love them is because it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with God. Heavenly Father, will you lead us now? Will you send us into our offices? Will you send us into our homes? Will you send us into our schools? Will you send us into this world and help us to represent you well? We are Christ followers. The reason we do the things we do is because that's the character of our God. That's who we are striving to become. So we will give back better than we received. We will do unto others as you have done unto us. So help us be filled with the Spirit of the living God as we represent you in our homes, in our offices, at our schools, on the ball fields, wherever we are. You accept all the glory. You accept all the honor because you're worthy of it. You're a good God that asks us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Forgive us for our prayerless lives. And we'll recommit today to carving out time in our daily walk with you to spend time with the Creator of the universe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, will you give God a round of applause, please, everybody? Come on, we can honor him for that. Yeah.